In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, with utmost reverence and dignity, you may pull out your candle. Today we celebrate indeed the feast of the presentation of our Lord in the temple. Actually, we celebrate the feast transfer, because the sixth day always, always falls on February 2nd, exactly 40 days after Christmas Day. And we have a small mass on Friday. But we transferred it also that more might enjoy the depth and the richness of this feast. The richness is somewhat evidenced by the many titles of the day. I believe this might have more titles than any other feast of the year. The Feast of the Presentation of our Lord in the Temple. The Feast of the Meeting of Simeon. The Feast of Candlemas. The Feast of the Purification of Mary. And yes, Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day, there's a direct connection that custom and this Christian feast. Because this is a feast of light. 40 days after Christmas, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, for the first time with the naked eye, we're able to sense just the beginning of the lengthening of days. And for us, it doesn't matter. We make our days and nights whenever we walk them with a flick or a switch. But in the ancient world, just going back 200 years ago, the lengthening of days meant something. It meant something to the economy. It meant something to the quality of life. And so when the days began to be lengthened, it was also a prayer and a hope that winter might be short, because again, winter meant harshness to many. And so there was a beautiful little superstition grew up around this feast day Candlemas. If it were sunny and bright, that winter would be longer. If it were cloudy, it would be shorter. The ditty went like this. If Candlemas be sunny and bright, winter would take another flight. If Candlemas brings clouds and rain, winter will not come again. You have to take the British work to rhyme. But animals came into it. The badger in Germany came and could see its shadow. When the cousin came to America, we were short on badgers. But we had groundhogs. And so there it is. And it's a beautiful thing. And so also on this day, it was tradition in the church, the candles. Remember, they were the conduits of light to be used in hospitals and houses and churches. Would be blessed. For us, it's just a symbol. But in yesteryear, it was very literal. It meant something. It was of great value. The candles that you have in your hands are blessed. And again, in yesteryear, they would be brought home to be used for home communions in case of storm, in case of infirmity. So I might ask you to bring them home, though they are just symbols. Place them maybe next to your palm that you receive on Palm Sunday. Just to remind you who you are throughout the year, that we are the light of Christ in this world. So Candlemas, how dear. And yet the central story of today, the story is mainly a feast of our Lord Jesus as he's presented in the temple according to the law of Moses. 40 days after his birth, the firstborn male son would be dedicated unto the Lord. And it harkened back to the time of the Exodus, when the angel of death came into the land of Egypt to kill the firstborn of all living, to break the will of Pharaoh, finally to let his people go from slavery. But the angel of death, as it came into Israel, noticed the blood from unblemished lambs on the doorposts of the homes of the Israelites, and it passed over those homes, thus sparing the firstborn of Israel. So this was a prayer to dedicate this baby. And how beautiful it was when they came to the temple. We are told that the old man Simeon, a man that had spent his life bathing his life with prayer and goodness, a prophet, was there, along with the old prophet Anna at the age of 84. And he believed that the Lord had told him that before he died, he would see Messiah. And indeed, Mary and Joseph come and place the baby in Simeon's arms. And just for a moment, he's revived. He becomes young again. He begins to prophesy as he used to do. And he prophesied about the greatness of this baby who would bring light to the Gentiles and to Israel. And he turned then to Mary and offered a haunting prophecy that one day a sword would pierce her soul. Perhaps that came back to her 33 years later, standing at the foot of the cross. But how beautiful the story of Simeon. Also, Today is we call the purification of Mary. Following the birth of a child, a woman would go and make sacrifice of purification and then be restored to the full duty of in her religious life. And so today, Second Gerrit, is the Feast of Mary. Thus, at the end of the Mass, we will sing one of the most beautiful Marian hymns of the Church. It's an old 1940 hymnal. It was in the children's section. And we use it today because it has one of the most beautiful tunes of the Church, entitled Pleading Savior. Then followed by the singing of the angels. How does it bring us to us today? We're going back to Simeon. As he was revived, as the baby was placed in his arms, he became, in essence, his spirit became young. And also he expressed the most beautiful gratitude of life. And then he said he could now die in peace. Perhaps this is why this is one of the most popular scriptures to be read at the time of last rites, at the time of the hour of someone's death. How beautiful it would be if you and I could have the words of Simeon at the time of our death. We could die gratefully, thanking God for this life. What I would like to say today, the gift of this passage in many ways, is that it teaches us the meaning of the Mass. The meaning of the Holy Eucharist. If the meaning of the Holy Eucharist eludes you, if it seems so much of a mystery we can't contemplate or fathom, we need only to know the story of Simeon to at least in part understand the Eucharist. As the baby was placed in his arms, the very presence of Jesus, he was renewed. In the same way, our faith teaches us when we come to Mass, the very presence of Christ, promised at the Last Supper on that Maundy Thursday, in that upper room, at the common elements of bread and wine, the very presence of Christ is placed in our hands or our tongue. A part of God becomes a part of us. And no matter what our condition, spiritually, strong, weak, dead, anything in between, it doesn't matter. Our poorest souls have the presence of Jesus placed in our figurative arms. And the promise of the Mass is that we are renewed, we are more girded and nerved and encouraged and affirmed. And we leave the sacrament as Simeon did. The world in which we leave is no more in trouble, no more turbulent, the day in which Simeon lived. And the promise is that we can go into the world with the very presence of Christ in us, renewed as Simeon was renewed. And this world needs renewed people of love. This world needs, in the black hole of need of the world, this world needs people who have the light of Christ burning in them. And so, if we ever feel apathetic about the Holy Eucharist, the Mass, feel lethargic, let us just close our eyes and think of the story of Simeon and allow it to renew our spirit. Amen.